Would you turn to Psalm 119? I want to begin reading in verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It's my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies. For they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. For thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I've not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Let's pray. Lord, we come into your presence in Christ's name, and we're so utterly and completely dependent upon your Spirit to teach us your gospel. We pray that you would meet with us. We pray that you would cause your gospel to be preached in the power of your Spirit. We pray that we might be enabled to worship thy dear Son. We pray that you would deliver us from hearing the words and thoughts of a fallen man, but that we might actually hear from you through your word. We pray for your presence with all your people. Lord, we pray for the church and Rock Valley, the Terrells, the Morells, that you would give them grace at this very difficult time, and we know that you're in control of everything. And Lord, we bow before who you are. Be with all your people wherever they meet together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In case you didn't know, Joe Terrell died tragically, and everybody remember that church, those people associated with that. Now, before I get into Psalm verse 97 through 104, I want you to turn with me to Revelation 19, and I'm going to make some comments on this. I want you to read verse 8 with me. Now, this is the Lamb's wife being described in verse 8, the church. And to her was granted, graciously bestowed and given. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now, in the original, this is spoken of in the plural, the righteousnesses of the saints. And I looked in several translations other than the King James Version, and most translations translate this like this. This is the righteous deeds of the saints. This is the righteous acts of the saints. This is the good deeds of the saints. That's the way the majority of translations translate that. Now, two questions. Do believers have good works? Absolutely. Absolutely. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Every believer is zealous of good works. Zealous. That's what the scripture says. Do believers have good works? Absolutely. Here's my next question. Are those good works, those righteous deeds that they have done, is that what makes up their wedding garment that was graciously granted to them? Do you want that to be your wedding garment? A wedding garment with my good works? Well, let me ask you this. Would you look at any of your good works as fine linen, clean and white? Of course not. So why does John talk about the righteousnesses of the saints? Because you know that the righteousness of Christ is that wedding garment. You know that. The only righteousness there is the righteousness and merits of Jesus Christ. So why did he mention this in the plural? Because it is mentioned in the plural, the righteousnesses. This represents the active and the passive obedience of Christ. I asked Glenn if I've ever dealt with this, and if I hadn't, I should have. The active and the passive obedience of Christ. Now somebody says, what are you talking about? Well, his active obedience is his law keeping. He actively, perfectly, joyfully kept every commandment of God. He never sinned. That's his active obedience. Now, if all he performed was his active obedience, what good would that do you? If that's all he did. If he just came down here perfectly and perfectly kept the law and went back to heaven, what good would that do you? It wouldn't do you any good at all. Not only did he actively keep the law, he became obedient to death. Now, this is his passive obedience. He was brought into the hands of God's law and justice, taking our sins, and God's wrath came down upon him. And the reason we are saved is because of his active and his passive obedience, his law keeping and his being condemned under the law. Now that's of critical importance for us to understand. I'm saved by his active obedience, his law keeping. I'm saved by his passive obedience when he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, and put away all my sins. Now, turn back to our text, and I hope you'll understand why I wanted to bring that out of Psalm 119. Now, this psalm, this section of this psalm, I can only understand this as the words of Christ himself. When I read, for instance, 101, verse 101, I've refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. Could you say that? Have you refrained your feet from every evil? And he says, I'm the one that's done this. He didn't even say, the Lord enabled me to do this. He said, I've refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep your word. I couldn't say that about anything. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ describing himself. And in this passage of scripture, he gives us both his active and his passive obedience. Now, that's why I tried to introduce that with this. Now let's look at this. These are the words of the Lord. He says in verse 97, oh, how I love thy law. It's my meditation all the day, 24/7. You and I can't enter into that. I mean, I want to, but the Lord meditated on the holy law of God all the day long, nonstop. This is the same thing as in the first psalm. Turn with me there real quickly. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of God, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now who is that? The Lord Jesus Christ is the blessed man. He's the man who never stood in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seat of the scornful. Me and you have been guilty of doing all of those things, but not him. He is the blessed man. Now this is talking about his active obedience. Back to our text in Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It's my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments has made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Now this is not boasting, it's fact. Oh, his infinite wisdom, he's wiser than his enemies. Now this is true of a believer too in this sense. If you trust Christ as your righteousness before God, you're a whole lot wiser than anybody else that doesn't. This is the God-given wisdom, but this is the Lord speaking of him being wiser than his enemies. This is not boastful speech. This is just the facts. This is who he is. For they are ever with me. Your commandments are ever eternally with me. Your word is eternally ever with me. And then he says in verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Now who can say this but the Lord in reality? I have more understanding than all my teachers. And here's why. For thy testimonies are my meditation all the time. Now this is the Lord talking about his delight in the law of God. He says, I understand more than the ancients, the elders, verse 100. Now, three times he talks about how I have more understanding. And only he could say this, I have more understanding than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. None of them have ever done that. I have kept every law perfectly. And then he makes this statement with regard to his life. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep thy word. Now, who does that describe? There's only one person that describes. That's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And if someone would look at this and say, well, I've checked that box, I've done that. No, you haven't. Nor has any other son of Adam. This only speaks of the active obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. He refrained his feet from every evil way that he might keep thy word. And I believe verse 102 is what he's talking about when he's talking about his passive obedience. I've not departed from thy judgments. Now, what's the greatest judgment to ever take place? The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is where God judged sin. There is where the wrath of God came down upon sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ, all of his life, he knew this was coming. And he says, I didn't depart from it. I didn't leave it. And that is so overwhelming to think of. You know, the reason the Lord Jesus Christ was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and that's how he's described, a man of sorrows, acquainted, deeply acquainted with grief, is because all of his life he knew. Well, he said, I've been afflicted from my youth in Psalm 88. All of his life, he knew that this was going to take place. You see, his passive obedience didn't simply begin when they nailed him to the cross. You know, I'm talking about high and holy things that I have that are just so glorious, I don't even know how to describe them. But he actively kept God's holy law perfectly, and he gave himself, he said, I gave my back to the smiters, and to them that pull out the hair out of the cheeks. He gave himself to this for his people. He says, I've not departed from thy judgments, knowing what was going to take place, for thou hast taught me. And look at this statement in verse 103. And by his grace, I feel this way too, but these are still his words. First of all, How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Oh, how he delighted in the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How he delighted in God's words. And you know what? I do too. Not like he did. I realize that. But I'm so thankful for the word of God. I'm so thankful for Jesus Christ, who is the word of God. I love just this concept of Christ being the word of God. Words are vehicles of communication, and God communicates himself, and here's his word that comes out of his mouth. This is my beloved son, hear ye him. He is the word of God. And how sweet the words of God are to my taste. I love the word of God. That's only by the grace of God, I realize that. But I love the word of God. I love the Bible. I love everything it says. I love everything it says with regarding to the living God. I love the Bible. And that's what he says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Now, the Lord, while he walked on this earth for 33 years, I don't understand this, he grew in wisdom. How'd he grow in wisdom? I don't know, but he did. He grew in wisdom and stature. That's what the scripture says. And in favor with God and with men. And that is the scriptural testimony of our Lord growing up. And it was through the precepts of God that he got this understanding. And if we have any understanding, it's through God's word, God's precepts, God's commandments, God's statutes, the word of God. The only understanding that I want is that understanding that comes from the scriptures. Oh, don't you want the Lord to be your teacher, to teach you his word, and to find his word sweeter, sweet to your taste, sweeter than the honey of the honeycomb. And he ends with this statement, therefore, I hate every false way. Now, these are the words of the Lord. I hate. This is what he says about it. I hate every false way. But these are the words of the believer as well. I hate. Been talking about my love for the word. I love the Lord. I love God. I love him as he's revealed in his word. I love all of his attributes. I love his sovereignty. I love his holiness. I love his justice. I love his love. I love his grace. I love the Lord. I love his son. I love his spirit. I love the gospel. Therefore, I hate every false way. Now, Charles Spurgeon made this statement. I want you to think about this. He said, he that does not hate the false does not love the true. Now think about that. He that does not hate the false does not love the true. Why do we hate the false? I want to give you five reasons in closing why we hate the false way. Number one, because we love the true. If you love the true, you will hate that which is false, that which is contrary to him. We hate the false because we love the true. He is the way to God. We love the true. Secondly, we take false doctrine personal because it's against the person we love. That's the reason. Any other reason's a wrong reason. If this is an I'm right, you're wrong thing, I've got the wrong attitude. I hate the false because it's against the person I love. That's why we take false doctrine personal. It grieves us. It's against him. It's contrary to Him. It's an attempt to bring Him down and to bring man up. We take it personal because we love His person. We hate every false way, thirdly, because every false way seeks to rob Him of His glory. Every false doctrine is an attempt of stealing glory. That's why we hate it. Fourthly, we hate every false way because no one can be saved by hearing of a false way. If all you hear is a false way, you'll never be saved. There's no salvation apart from hearing the gospel. There's no salvation apart from hearing the way to God. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We hate every false way because we know no one can be saved by hearing a false way. No one was ever saved by hearing a false gospel. Do you believe that? It's so. No one was ever saved by hearing a false gospel. Now here's my last reason, and this is probably the one that I don't know what word. This is the one that probably means the most to me. All of them mean infinitely a lot, but here's the main reason why I hate every false way. I've got one hope, the way. And if you tell me that way is not the way, you're taking away the only hope I have. And that's why I hate it so bad. The only hope I have is that Jesus Christ died for me. Can you say in your heart amen to that? The only hope I have is that Jesus Christ died for my sins and put them away. Now, if you tell me that Jesus Christ can die for my sins and I might be damned anyway, you've taken away the only hope I have. If you tell me there's something I need to do to add to what He did, you've taken away the only hope I have. Do you hate every false way? Now remember, he that does not hate the false does not love the true. Now, one of the things I love about these Psalms and even looking at them as Christ being the first speaker, I feel like through the Psalms I get to know the person of Christ more. How he feels, what he thinks, what he does, what he has done. I read this and it just makes me admire the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and how thankful I am for his active and his passive obedience, my salvation.